This is Paul Peluso from Officer.com. I'm here at Baltimore County, Maryland, Police Captain Don Roby, Chairman of the International Association of Chiefs of Police's Aviation Committee. How's it going today, Captain Roby?
It's going very well.
So there has been a recent backlash by the public against the domestic use of unmanned aircraft in the U.S., and Congress and some legislatures could consider bills this year, and in some local localities have, that would limit the use of aircraft. I guess, what is the IACP stance on the use of unmanned aircraft right now?
Well, the IACP looks at this as a valuable tool for American law enforcement and as an officer safety tool for American law enforcement. We definitely endorse these devices. And of course, we endorse them with the proper use, and that is why we've become involved in this, in this issue, and we've actually developed and adopted guidelines for the use of small unmanned aircraft systems for law enforcement.
What are some of the, you don't have to go through all of them, of course, but some of the guidelines, some of the key things that you say these unmanned aircraft should be used for?
Are you talking about what kind of missions?
Well, yeah, the missions, and also some, like you said, the guidelines that you guys put forth, some, I guess, do's and don'ts.
We kind of view this, we have several different areas. First one being a community engagement, where every agency should, right off the bat, engage with communities before they even decide to go with this, to basically make it a very transparent process that the community is involved in that, with the choice and the selection of the device to be used. They have a say in the policy, so they can assure the communities that they are, protecting the citizens' constitutional rights of unreasonable search and seizure. We also want to make sure that they assure the people that there's full compliance with the Constitution, federal laws, and state laws, if there is any, in the state in which they're operating, and that they also work with the media, and that everyone's brought in very early into the process. That's one area. The second area is we want to get into system requirements. We would like agencies to make sure they have a device that captures, flight time for individual flight times and cumulative flight times, that the device has its very high visibility paint scheme on it so people can see the device when it's in the air, that they're making sure that the aircraft is not, equipped with any types of weapons, whether it's an actual, weapons such as the less lethal force weapons and things of that nature. We also want to make sure that they're not using model aircraft. They're actually using a professionally designed device that has a continued airworthiness, but it is a safe device. And they're not just sticking a camera on a central on a radio-controlled aircraft.
Okay.
And then we have some operational procedures we want them to have so that they're adhering to all the FAA and the Federal Aviation rules, their certificate of authorization that's out there, that they're only letting the unmanned aircraft be operated by personnel that are trained in how to develop and how to fly these devices, that there's an approval process before the aircraft gets put into the air, and that there's an audit of the flight times. If someone's actually looking when it's being used, there's a trail of, an audit trail so they can go back and track every flight, and that there's a policy about, any type of image retention, how long do you keep it, who has access to it, and things of that nature. And more importantly, that if it's being, if it's a situation where also safety's not, jeopardized, that they use reverse 911 to let people know in the area that the device is up flying, so people, can be on the lookout for it. That's pretty much what the policy and the guidelines covers for us.
So it sounds like, communication and the relationship between the department and the community is a big deal. You can't, even if you get approval from the FAA and in the local jurisdiction, that if you don't get approval from the residents, it might be all off or not.
Yes, and that is true. And we've had jurisdictions where that has happened, where there's been such a quell from this citizenship that agencies have postponed or even outright just went ahead and canceled any plan to fly that. Their communities didn't want them flying them, so they said, if their people don't want us to fly them, we're not going to fly them. And that's why you have to get everyone involved in it. The big issue, of course, being privacy. that's the biggest concern that individuals have regarding these.
And what kind of, I guess, misconceptions do you think the public may have? I know that the term drones is often used for unmanned aircraft, and that can be taken as a, I guess, derogatory, or what do you guys, because when I've, you know, talked to you guys before, you know, the use of the word drones is something that you guys sort of have wanted to stay away from.
Well, we like using the word small unmanned aircraft systems. Unfortunately, every time there seems to be an article in other periodicals and magazines or whatever, they seem to want to put a predator drone, you know, out there that's armed and used by the military. And that's, you know, somewhat feeds into the fear of individuals that this is, you know, a sustainable device in which people are out there, you know, with this type of aircraft that are ready to fly this thing for 24 hours or 48 hours, and it's a persistent surveillance platform. When in fact, the majority of these devices have a very short duration for flight, they're battery operated, you know, you're talking 10, 15, 20 minutes. And, but when you get into a device that's, you know, limited, you know, 400 feet below, they're very quiet, and that's the issue you get into. People think the government's going to be spying on them.
Okay. And what type of missions do you think departments could use these small unmanned aircraft for?
Well, when you look at vehicle missions, we kind of look at this as, one, it's an officer safety-driven deployment where you have a tactical or SWAT operation, someone barricaded in a house. The device could be launched to, you know, go around the perimeter of the location, make sure everything's secure, and that you can use it to guide a SWAT team into their deployment. We can also use it for small search and rescues in the very small confined areas to clear a small wooded area, things of that nature. The aircraft could be used for crime scene photography, as long as it, again, it's, you know, not in violation of, you know, our constitutional mandates that are out there for privacy. And, that, you know, there will maybe situations in crime scenes where you may need a search and seizure warrant to launch it and get your photos that way. And we kind of look at it as accident scenes, taking photos of accident scenes and things of that nature.
Okay, and I guess what do you guys see as the outlook right now for small unmanned aircraft? You know, is it something that in the near future you guys think that departments will have access to, or is this thing sort of going to draw out a bit with you know, the legislation and reviews by jurisdictions and you know, Congress?
Well, I kind of look at it as it's going to draw out a little bit. As you see, in, I think we're up about 30 states have introduced some sort of legislation resulting concerning unmanned aircraft systems.
Yeah.
And then you have legislation in the federal government. I think it's going to be a long, drawn-out process. It's an exciting technology, and we're kind of stifling this technology, stifling the production of these devices. However, understandably, we have to deal with the privacy issue, and everything is driven on privacy. And I think that's we could get that under control, have the reassurances to the folks out there that, hey, we're not up for spying with these aircraft, but they're actually being used in an operational capacity. I mean, the persistent surveillance is the issue. And now people, you know, when individuals think that government's going to be following them around in these quiet, stealthy, unmanned aircraft, I mean, that's going to raise the flags. And we, as, you know, law enforcement, as public servants, we have to reassure the public that that's not going to happen, and that we have policy guidelines, and there's going to be case law eventually on that. We have some case law now that covers the use of technology to gather evidence from airborne platforms, and also minimum altitudes for aircraft. So we do have that going in our favor. But it's going to be an education. It's going to be a long process to educate people on these devices.
Okay, well, I thank you for joining us today, Captain Roby, and hopefully we can catch up with you soon, and hopefully some of this, like we said, the legislation and policies move along so that departments could further look into using this technology.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate it.
No problem.